He also stated that it was within the power of the spirits operating about the room to increase or diminish the temperature therein at will. Among her patrons at this office was Mr. Charles III Roos, of Cambridgeport, who on many occasions, at private seances, brought fruit of various kinds for the invisibles communicating, on his holding out a specimen, and asking if they would take it, his request would be complied with at once, while both Mrs. Conant's hands were upon the table, and plainly to be discerned by her visitor, the manifestation taking place in the light. Sometimes, a knife being given them beneath the table, the spirits would pare the fruit, the noise of the operation being clearly heard, and the peel falling to the carpet. Again the remnants of an apple, the substance of which had been consumed, sounds being heard as of eating, although no mortal person save themselves was in the room, would be thrown to the floor, bearing the marks of invisible teeth. This took place repeatedly in the presence of Mrs. Conant as medium, and Mr. Bruce as investigator, at their sittings. A remarkable case of what is called the double occurred at one of her private seances at this place. A gentleman whom she had been in the habit of, Mrs. J. H. L. Conant, 91, sitting for quite frequently, called on her one day and serially had they taken seats at the table when a name was written through the hand of Mrs. C. The visitor started back in surprise, ejaculating, "That can't be. There must certainly be some mistake." But the spirit only replied by rewriting the name. "When did you die?" queried the gentleman. "Yesterday, in Middlebury, VT. I was a teller in the Middlebury Bank." The visitor, filled with astonishment, in which was mingled an undertone of doubt, proceeded to press the spirit with test questions upon personal matters, of which he was satisfied the medium could not possibly have any knowledge. All these were correctly answered. Utterly at a loss to account for what he heard, the inquirer informed Mrs. C. that he had left Middlebury that very morning, at which time the person now announcing himself as dead, was in perfect health. The medium, being unable to throw any light upon the subject, he repaired for information to the telegraph office, where his Vermont friend, in reply to his anxious query, flashed back a statement that as far as he knew he was alive and well. On his return to Mrs. Conant's office, the gentleman stated that he was even more mystified than before, as the matters treated on by his questions, and correctly answered by the influence purporting to be his friend, were of a nature to be beyond the knowledge of a third party. T.N. The winter of 1855-6, owing to the nearly equal balance existing between the two great parties of their 92 A Biography of Day, in the United States House of Representatives, no election of Speaker could be effected for that body for a space of nearly 8 weeks. Day after day the House assembled, and the form of balloting was gone through with, but the result no choice, was all that could be dispatched to the waiting ones all over the nation. The excitement gradually reached such a height that knots of interested politicians began to visit Mrs. Conant at the residence of Mr. Pope, desiring to consult the spirits as to the prospects of their particular favorites. At last a challenge appeared in one of the city papers, offering $500 to any spirit medium who should successfully predict the coming speaker. This challenge she accepted, and, in accordance with its provisions, three gentlemen called at her office, announcing themselves as ready for a seance. She was entranced, and the spirit controlling, who gave his name as Henry Clay, assured them that Nathaniel P. Banks, member from Massachusetts, would be the one selected to preside. It so happened that all the gentlemen present were opposed in politics to Mr. Banks, and they stoutly denied the likelihood of such an occurrence. But the spirit refused to reconsider his announcement, although the gentleman continued to come to her room day after day, to see if the unseen intelligence would offer any change of statement. His reply was invariably, "Banks will be the next speaker." At length, on the very day on which the news of his election was telegraphed to Boston, they called and remained 2 hours, patiently awaiting, but in vain, some indication of spirit presence. The medium B, Mrs. J. H. Conant. Section 3. Gan to be nervous, and wondered what could be the cause of the delay, while Shay urged them to continue their stay till they received a message of some sort. The influence finally controlled, declaring positively that Banks was elected Speaker of the House. The gentlemen again united in protesting that it was impossible, and one of them volunteered to go to the transcript office to see if any later dispatches were in receipt from Washington. On his return, he said there was some mistake, that no news had been received. This, however, turned out afterward to be an untruth, as the information was even then becoming public. The spirit, however, would not yield his ground. After another hour of suspense, nothing further transpiring, the gentlemen took their leave for the day. She at once prepared herself to go home, and starting therefore, almost the first sound that greeted her ear on passing into the street, was the aria of a newsboy, announcing, "Here's the Journal, Traveller, and Transcript. N.P. Banks elected Speaker." Nothing further was heard from the three gentlemen, politicians or their $500. 94. A biography of 4. In the winter of 1856, she left Mr. Berry's residence at North Cambridge, and, with her husband, boarded at the National House, Haymarket Square, Boston, at that time kept by Mickle Tubbs. Here those manifestations which have been the wonder of doubter and believer alike, followed her. The cures, also, performed by Dr. Fisher, were remarkable in character. Among his patients was Mr. Tubbs, the landlord. So powerful were the remedies prepared under direction of Dr. F., that he warned Mrs. Tubbs that the administration of one drop too much would be likely to send her husband to the other side of life in just than half an hour. His skeptical friends became alarmed, and said to Mrs. Tubbs, "Why? You surely do not intend giving him that medicine?" "Certainly," was her answer, "I shall follow Dr. Fisher's directions with regard to it." Mrs. Conant was in the room when the first potion was given. The patient soon complained that he could not see, and that his sense of hearing appeared to be failing. He remained in this condition for several minutes, after which he became insensible. Great anxiety supervened in the minds of all concerned, but the result indicated that this state was exactly what Dr. F. desired to produce, for when the patient regained the use of his faculties, which happened after a brief period, he began a successful journey toward renewed health. Ms. Tubbs next yielded to the approach of disease,